Welcome to Gen Z Hoops, the Gen Z basketball, coaching, and sports business show. On this podcast, you'll learn from professional players, coaches, and executives from all over the world and see the court in a brand new way. And now, joining you courtside, your Gen Z host, John Hartophilus.
Salam, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's up? Everything's going pretty good. How about you?
I see it, man. I see you doing some really cool things. I mean, I say this. I know I say this a lot when I'm talking to you, but I still can't believe you're still in high school. So that's something I just love bringing up over and over and over again, because I just love seeing young people killing it in the industry. So watching you do what you're doing is inspiring. And I see you, right? I keep on telling my freshmen, I see you doing like these news reports for your high school. Like, I always see on my Instagram feed doing cool stuff. So I wanted to make sure I highlighted that. And I'm excited to have you on today for the second two-way episode, talking a lot about kind of the present of the G League. You're kind of, I mean, you're in it right now, which is crazy. And people would maybe think of you as the future, and you are the future, but you're also like doing it now, which I find super impressive. So I can't wait to kind of break down what's going on in the G League today and all that stuff. Tell our listeners, and if people don't know your story, you should go to the Gen Z Hoops episode number 221 and listen to it. But for those that maybe have still been familiar with G League Tracker, can you kind of give us a quick rundown on maybe what you're up to there?
Yeah, so for G League Tracker, I mean, right now it's kind of been a little slow just because I got back into school and we've been really, really busy with school. But actually this weekend, I've been working on kind of revamping the website, going to get that rolling, do a lot more with that for this season. I'm reaching out to some people to do some interviews next week because I have some days off from school. So looking forward to doing some new interviews, getting the website kind of back up and refreshed, and just looking forward to the G League season, which is coming up real quick. It's about a month away, I think, now. So
it feels like it was yesterday when Summer League was happening. We're seeing all these guys for the first time. It's fun, right? You're talking about your schedule. I'm kind of in the same boat as you for the first time in a few years, where I'm kind of on a high school like 9-to-3 schedule with MSG. I'm kind of doing that, and then I'm going straight to high school practice for the team I'm coaching now. And it's funny, right? Like having those parallels of kind of being the 9-to-3. And now I'm kind of doing what you're doing. I'm scheduling interviews after school, which is weird for me. It's not what I was doing during quarantine. But fun thinking about all that stuff and all the cool stuff you're doing with G League TV. And you're mentioning, right, leading up to the season, like tell us a little bit about the Windy City Bulls and a couple of cool things happening, a couple shakeups. Like, what's going on there, and what can fans expect from a team, right, that's had some critical history, and you've been there for all of it.
Windy City just hired their new head coach, Henry Dommerkant. So he's been an assistant coach with them, I believe, since 2018, and then the year before that he was with the Maine Red Claws, who are now the Maine Celtics. And so he has a lot of G League assistant coaching experience. He was with the Bulls during this pandemic season, kind of helping out as an assistant coach, developmental role. So it'll be really cool to see him lead his own team now, especially with a lot of the talented players who will probably end up with Windy City this year. You've got Devon Dotson on the two-way contract right now. They still got another two-way slot open, and a lot of the training camp guys are really vying for that two-way spot right now.
It's fun, right? I mean, like you said, you're saying, right, it's still kind of up in the air. Things are still being decided. What's the kind of tryout? And like, we were talking about this before we got on the show, calling it preseason-ish. It's not really a preseason, but kind of like a preseason. What is that looking like for the G League now as they ramp up for the season to start in only a couple of weeks?
Yeah, so I'll kind of speak to Windy City a little bit first, and then I can kind of go more general G League. But for Windy City, there were no tryouts since they didn't really have a head coach, and there's still some vaccine requirements and issues with the whole COVID thing. But for Windy City, really just hiring the new head coach was huge. They're going to be getting in probably a lot of these training camp guys who are with the Bulls right now will probably end up with Windy City. And I believe the G League draft is October 23rd. And pretty much right after that, training camp for the G League will start. So around the G League, just seeing which of the training camp guys who get cut end up with the affiliate teams is going to be really interesting, because a lot of them will get a bonus, whether they've signed an Exhibit 10 contract. I believe it's like a $50,000 or more bonus if they stay with the G League team for, I think, 2 months is what it is. But yeah, really just getting in those training camp guys from the NBA teams. A lot of the G League teams have finished up their open tryouts if they had them this year, hiring new head coaches, assistant coaches, really just kind of getting everything together with how uncertain everything's been over the summer. Everybody's kind of just finalizing things now. So it'll be really interesting to see how everything pulls together.
I love it. That was a beautiful breakdown of everything leading up to this season. And you're talking about all this stuff happening. And like, I feel like how involved are you in that? I know last night you were at the preseason game for the Bulls. You got pictures with, I saw it, Alex Caruso, the whole team almost. Was it the same polo now or Windy City one? Something, right? You looked like you were up to something. What was maybe your role last night or maybe the days leading up to that?
Last night it was just It was actually Windy City Bulls night at the Chicago Bulls game. So we ended up getting free tickets to that game, which was really cool. And it was cool for me because I got to see a lot of the G League guys who I've seen do well in the G League perform at an NBA level, like Alex Caruso. I got to take a picture with him. He played well last night. Dalton Holmes on the New Orleans Pelicans. He had a good game, even though they kind of got blown out last night. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool. Alize Johnson was there too. He's a guy who's kind of been in and out of the NBA and the G League. He signed a non-guaranteed deal with the Bulls. I think it's partially guaranteed the first year. So he'll probably get one of the Bulls' last roster spots. Matt Thomas, he's kind of been in and out of the G League and the NBA. So just seeing a lot of the guys who have done well in the G League now perform at an NBA level is just really, really cool. And can't wait to see the next kind of generation of those guys come up this season.
Definitely. And like we keep on saying, it's fast approaching. What's maybe the first couple games for Windy City looking like? Like, who are you excited to see come into town? I know it's unfortunate. I was talking to you about this before we got on, how, like, you know, we're not going to see every team because of the COVID restrictions, kind of broken up by conference, it looks like. What does maybe that look like for you in terms of the schedule once the season kicks off?
Yeah, so the G League season schedule is really different this year. They've changed up a lot of things with it. For Windy City specifically, they start off on the road. I believe November 6th, they're playing Fort Wayne. And their first home game is actually on a Wednesday this year, which is kind of weird, but just with the COVID situation and kind of the schedule changes, that's just how it has to be. But overall for the G League, what they're doing for the first half of the season is each team will play in a regional pod. So for the first half of the season, really, Windy City is going to be playing Motor City, Sioux Falls, Grand Rapids, Wisconsin, just kind of all the teams in the Midwest sort of area. And so the first half of the season is about 14 games-ish is how they're kind of structuring it. So each team will play 12 games leading up to the G League Showcase. At the G League Showcase, the top 8 teams in the league will do a single game elimination tournament. And the other teams will just play 2 games that are not included in the showcase tournament, but they're during that time period. So those 14 games total will be leading up to the G League Showcase champion. And then after the G League Showcase, the team's records actually will reset. And there'll be a 36-game regular season where at the end of the regular season, the top 6 teams in each conference will make it to the playoffs and battle it out for the championship.
Super exciting thinking about that. And it's definitely a much different schedule than what we're used to. But talk to us a little bit more about the G League Showcase, because that's something that everyone might be thinking of. Is that the whole like midseason tournament thing about doing with the NBA, but they're trying it out in the G League first? Like, what is that? What does that mean? What does that look like?
Yeah, so this is basically their test version of the midseason tournament. So those first 14 games, really, you're playing towards becoming like the G League Showcase champions, right? So it's not going to count towards your regular season record and your playoff seeding, I don't believe, is how they've kind of phrased it on their website. But it'll be interesting to see like who wins that, because that should set the stage for the rest of the season. Also, the Mexico City Capitanes will only be playing those first 14 games of the season. And then the G League Ignite, actually, were only scheduled to play those first 14 games, but now they've just added on 10 more games after the 14-game tournament. They're going to be playing in January all the way through March as well.
It's great seeing them, right? It was exciting news to see that those teams are going to get to play more games. And it's unfortunate we're only going to see 14 games in Mexico City, because they're going to be a fun team. And obviously, friend of the show, Nick Lay, just, you know, manning the ship with them. So that's a lot of fun thinking about that team. And hopefully trying to get to see one of their games somewhere. They're not coming to Long Island, but we might have to make a trip. Who knows? Because that's going to be a lot of fun. But you mentioned, right, G League Ignite, Mexico City, all these teams that are maybe new this year that with G League Ignite, right, even though it's their second year, they're kind of new and improved. They're changing a lot of their stuff and how they approach the season. There's a couple other teams like that. The Birmingham Squadron come to mind. Grand Rapids Drive, Motor City Crews, you mentioned them because they're kind of in your area. What are maybe some of those, like, what kind of have those changes looked like for them in going from one team to another or changing their name that have been so monumental to this kind of G League season?
Yeah, so for the Ignite, I think when they first got formed, the idea was for them to play international teams, G League teams, kind of all over the place. But it seems like the G League has kind of just scaled it down, just making them play G League teams throughout the season. And how it's working for them is that those 10 games during the 36-game regular season that they're playing, those 10 games are being tacked onto other teams' schedules. So those 10 games actually won't count towards G League records. They're just a way for the Ignite to kind of have more games throughout the season. So they'll play 24 overall instead of 14. In terms of the other new teams, I guess, we can start with Birmingham. That'll be interesting. New arena, new fans, spreads out the G League to a whole new market. And they'll be much closer now to the New Orleans Pelicans, which is great. The Grand Rapids Drive are now the Grand Rapids Gold, and the Motor City Crews are now the official G League team of the Detroit Pistons. So what happened there is that Detroit wanted a team closer to them, basically. Grand Rapids wasn't really willing to move closer because they were kind of an independent ownership. The team didn't actually own them. So the Pistons purchased Motor City from Phoenix, moved them to close to their NBA team. And then the Denver Nuggets ended up purchasing Grand Rapids and reformed them as the Grand Rapids Gold to kind of fit the Denver Nuggets branding and persona.
I've been trying to understand that for like months now, where and you just pieced it together all in one shot on this show. So congrats to you for knowing that.
Even I get confused with that. Like I probably messed it up too, but it's kind of confusing because there's so many different things with the G League. Like sometimes the teams will own the G League team. Sometimes each G League team has like individual ownership. And that kind of got demonstrated with the main Red Claws, because I believe the Boston Celtics actually purchased them, which allowed the Celtics to change the Red Claws name to the main Celtics. So it'll be kind of interesting to see all this different rebranding around the G League this year.
And the Canton Charge, you did something similar, becoming the Cleveland Charge. So stuff like that is just exciting, just seeing how it kind of just assimilates more to the NBA, just because kind of casual fans, I was talking about this to Jeffrey Key on the last episode, how it's like, how do most casual fans don't even know their local G League team or the G League teams around their area. Like, but now obviously as they come closer and closer, and whether it's name changes, whether it's the location being close, like in the situation of Birmingham, like it's tough for a fan in New Orleans to be following a team up in Erie, right? That's not as easy as now. They're right close by in Birmingham. Stuff like that, those changes are going to be really helpful, and hopefully seeing the league keep on growing in that regard. So what are some of the other, I mean, we mentioned maybe Windy City. Who are some of the, and we're kind of coming back to them after talking about the G League as a whole and all these rebrandings and all this cool stuff. Who are some of the two-way guys, maybe some of the coaching changes that really stood out to you when you're excited for with this Windy City Bowl season?
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of the entire G League, I think an interesting move that was made happened with Delaware. So they ended up making it to the G League finals last year, had a great season. Connor Johnson was their head coach, and he actually ended up leaving the team to pursue some other opportunities. So they've got a new coach in Kobe Carl, and it'll be interesting to see if he can kind of keep up their momentum that they had from last year. But I think he's going to do a great job. He's worked with Andre Ingram, Talen Horton Tucker, so many other guys at South Bay, Alex Caruso, who's now an NBA guy. He has so much experience as a player and working with so many different G League guys who have gone to have NBA success. So I think Delaware is going to be a good team this year. In terms of some of the two-way guys who I think are going to do well this year, I think we've only had a small sample size now because the preseason has just started. It's only been a few games. But I think one of the guys is, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, Sandro Mamukakalashvili. It's like a really long last name.
That was spot on, I think. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that was good.
I don't know. I can't even read it. Like, I have the name right in front of me and I can't even read it. But yeah, I think he's going to be really good. He had 20 and 11 last night, 20 points, 11 rebounds. Keep in mind, Giannis was out. A lot of their guys were out. But when he's given that kind of like big role, he was able to perform last night, which was really good. So in a G League setting where he's going to be given a lot of the role and a lot of the playing time, I feel like he's going to do a really good job down there. And then another guy who's kind of stood out for me is Eugene Omori. And he's been averaging, 11 points, 5.5 rebounds, 2.5 assists. I might have flipped the assists and the rebounds, but that's close enough to what he's been averaging. I think it's been over the first two preseason games, and he just looks like a guy who can kind of do everything. Like, he's been a great, great defender. He's been consistent on the offensive end. I just think he's a really well-rounded player who will do whatever the G League needs him to do and do whatever the NBA team needs him to do. So I think he's going to fit really well in the G League and in the NBA. And I have a feeling that by the end of the season, he might be offered an NBA contract if he keeps up how he's been playing. So I think those two guys will be really interesting to watch. And I'm butchering names because a lot of these names are really hard to pronounce. So
definitely, sometimes it's not easy. And it's funny, once they start making a name for themselves, I don't know how to say their names. Everyone couldn't pronounce Giannis's name properly, but now everyone says it the right way because he's playing really well. And if you play well enough, people will know your name. So it's coming soon for these guys. I'm sure of it. These guys, they'll show out in the G League and end up making waves. And one guy I just want to bring up, because you mentioned the Brooklyn Nets Bucks preseason game last night, is Cam Thomas. Everyone in Summer League was saying it, and I kind of learned more about him as the Summer League went on. He started hitting game winners. Last night, he just took over in the last 2 minutes of the game. It was great watching that. And I told everyone around me, like, guys, watch out for this guy, Cam Thomas. He's going to be really good. And he's showing it. So just fun stuff like that, where like, knowing G League guys, seeing them perform at that level. I mean, it might be preseason, but to them, it means a lot to have him keep showing out. And he keeps doing it in the biggest moments. So guys like that just keep on taking advantage of those opportunities, and we'll see what happens for them. So it's definitely really exciting stuff.
In terms of the two-way contract, I think there was one piece I wanted to get into a little bit. The two-way contract rules from last season are actually going to be mostly applied this year as well. So a lot of those two-way guys will be spending a lot more time in the NBA. So the rule is they can spend, I believe, unlimited time with the NBA team, practices, that kind of stuff, where as in the past, before last season, they were only able to spend 45 days with the NBA team. That's not 45 games. That's 45 days total. So travel, practicing, that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of the teams are going to be utilizing their two-way players a lot on the NBA schedule, especially if they have a lot of players that are injured. So the two-way player use is going to be really interesting this year, especially now that we have a full G League season, to see how they're allocated and where they're playing.
It's awesome thinking about all this, and especially considering, right, the constant change that's happening in the G League. All we've been talking about this whole show is, right, things just changing kind of on the fly. What it may be, I mean, we spoke with this off air about how the rosters aren't even set yet. Like, when is that even going to happen? Like, with the season coming up so soon, like, how does that process even take place with the draft and everything for the season to kind of kick off?
Yeah, so the draft training camp and then opening night rosters are usually really rushed, and it's pretty much the same this year. The draft is the 23rd of October, and then training camp starts 2 days later on the 25th. And that'll run through the 4th. But opening night rosters don't actually even have to be set until November 4th. But games start on the 5th. So
we no really don't way.
Know. Yeah.
We That's don't know wild.
Rosters until a day before games start, which is always really, really interesting to see who makes the team, who doesn't.
Wow, so you're really talking about getting right into it. That's really surprising. And then obviously, right, we already spoke about the season and the midseason tournament and how that's all going to take place. Crazy to think about how fast it is. I mean, you always hear about that with the G League, but that's startling to me even. Like, I'm kind of shocked on air hearing about that. But let's fast forward a little bit. We haven't spoken about really too much the playoffs yet. We kind of know how the midseason tournament is going to play out, the rules regarding that, and the number of games in the season. But are the playoffs going to be any different than last year? I mean, were last year's any different with COVID? Like, what's kind of the precedent been for that, and how are this year's going to take place?
Yeah, so usually what happens is there's six teams from each conference that make it to the playoffs, and they'll play a four-round playoff tournament, and each round is single elimination until the finals, when that's usually a best-of-three matchup. For the bubble last year, they kind of shortened the season down, so what they did is they did an 18 playoff, and the finals were just a single elimination game, just like all the other rounds, which kind of made it a little bit less interesting. I mean, that's what I think. But yeah, this year it'll be back to the six teams from each conference, meaning it should be a best of three finals matchup, which will be really awesome to see, because it's a lot more like competitive and it's a lot more interesting, I feel like, when there's more than just one game that decides everything.
Definitely. And that obviously, right, gets that more of that feel. And whenever it's a series, it always adds that kind of feel to it, like what we see in the NBA, and kind of brings that buzz around to it too. So definitely exciting to see that all take place. I'm excited for this season. It's my first ever G League season where I'm full, like, you know, it's not all weird with the bubble and stuff. It's a legit season. We'll be there at the games. You'll be there at Windy City. I'll be there at Long Island. Hopefully we get to meet each other, whether it's the showcase or something like that ends up taking place. I am super, super excited for this season. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm super excited to have had you come and break it all down, because I'm going to listen to this again so I know exactly what I'm getting myself into, because this season is going to be magical.
Yeah, it's going to be a great season. I can't wait to be back in the arena, back watching basketball. It was great to go watch a game last night, but can't wait to have a full season ahead of us.
Thanks for listening to Gen Z Hoops. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on Instagram, LinkedIn, and all major social media platforms at Gen Z Hoops. You can tune in and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and every other podcast platform on the planet. Get ready for the next episode.